The Drama of the Week is a download from the BBC.
Tommy's, 7th of October 1914, by Michael Chaplin. Hello.
A patch of earth in northern France. In the half-light of dawn, a nightingale sings its final aria from the edge of an ancient wood.
Allez.
After the night's rain, Alphonse Minet is ploughing the remnants of his wheat crop into the rich, loamy soil. The field slopes uphill to the wood. The sun rises. In this brief Indian summer is going to be another perfect day.
A gauche. A gauche.
For 150 years, the Minets have grown cereals for the bakeries of Rheims, 20 miles away. In that time, very little has changed in the valley of the Aisne. It is 6:48 on the morning of October the 7th, 1914. Monsieur Minet pays no attention to the lorry. Lost in the richness of his soil, he wonders if the harvest of 1915 can match this year's record. In fact, the field has been harvested for the last time in 6 years. Alphonse Minet won't live to see the next. He will be killed by a stray bullet fired by one of his own countrymen in January 1917.
Complete of his guilt. When he was sleeping, we were beeping to see how well he was built.
No, again.
The lorry's fuel line is faulty. No minor inconvenience, as its driver has an appointment. Mickey Bliss is going to war for the first time.
What are you
going
to do now, Sergeant?
Stick your finger where you didn't alter.
Yeah, you can't exactly carry young contraption, can we?
Looks like your little mission's over before it began, Sergeant Bliss.
I'll fix it.
Sergeants Walter Oddy and Horace Greenwood are comparative veterans with 7 weeks' experience of conflict.
Morning, Sergeant. Problem?
Sir.
That's it, you see. The average horse doesn't break down.
Yeah, just like your average lorry doesn't get shot from under you.
Now you're for it, he heard you.
Your name?
Sergeant Michael Bliss, Signal Section, Lahore Division, Indian Army.
Ah, Bliss. Don't suppose you've heard that one before?
If I had a pound for every time, sir.
Didn't know you chaps were over here already.
Everyone but me isn't, sir, on troop ships in the Indian Ocean, last I heard. Oh, will you excuse me?
Unlike normal soldiers, signalers find themselves seconded to other units whenever and wherever they're required.
So I'm playing nursemaid to your operation today.
Lieutenant Dunster?
It is he. Would you like a tow?
This proves unnecessary. Mickey Bliss is a consummate fixer, but not as skilled a map reader.
Now then, where are we?
Oh, tell me you're lost.
In fact, the party is 2 miles north of the village of Bourg-et-Comin, which straddles the River Aisne and its accompanying canal.
Follow me, Sergeant. Lead on.
B Squadron of the 15th King's Hussars have been in France since the outbreak of war, acting variously as probing attack force and rear guard, picking up German stragglers and British deserters, riding nearly 200 miles in the pell-mell retreat from Mons and the counterattack on the Marne. The eyes and ears of 2nd Division.
Rendezvous point, Sergeant!
Now the front has settled just north of the Aisne. The horsemen of Lieutenant Dunster's troop have barely slept for 6 weeks.
You signal Wallace here for a spot of lamp flashing and flag waving, are you?
Oh, something rather more sophisticated, sir. This.
And what is that?
One motor lorry set, straight from the factory.
Let me have a look.
Until now, the British Expeditionary Force has mostly used the telegraph to convey information at the front, which involved riders on horseback laying lines from carts over trees, buildings and other high points, all at the gallop.
Rather large, isn't it?
Indeed it is. The components of the wireless set, transmitter, mast and receiver, weighs 600 pounds.
It transmits Morse via a spark gap. It receives on a long wave Mark II tuner.
Range?
100 miles.
Good heavens.
Yeah, if it works.
It could make such a difference, sir. I mean, it's beautiful.
True believer, are you, Bliss?
Fast, effective communication will win the war, sir.
Not men on horseback, I presume.
I didn't say that, sir.
And the point of today's exercise?
Well, we test the set under field conditions, sir. Acquiring vital intelligence in the process.
What about you two? Are you trained to use the wireless like Sergeant Bliss here?
No, sir.
Here to observe, sir. And help with the umping.
Well, Sergeant Bliss, your show. Best get on with it.
The clear waters of the Musi tumble quickly from the heights of an escarpment to join the Aisne. Before the war, Sunday anglers caught trout in the Musi and carp in the Aisne. The artist, Camille Pizarro, painted the trees of the valley in autumn.
Be careful, Bliss. Don't lose cover of them trees.
Bet some German's got his glasses on us right now.
It's now 7:55 a.m.
Far away then, Bliss.
So the enemy occupy the high ground up there.
Right along the Chemin des Dames. The ladies' path, but don't get too excited. The dames have long gone.
And the bastards have moved in, haven't they, sir?
So daintily put. And well established with artillery.
Well, that's the thing. We're to establish the position of their guns on that ridge and send the coordinates back to our artillery.
Oh, it sounds so bloody easy, don't it?
You see, Sergeant, your devilish Hun don't actually put his guns on the skyline.
Yeah, I realise that, sir.
But below it, on the other side.
So how do you reckon on peering through a bank of earth?
Well, we'd have a chance further up the hillside. You see the dip in the ridge? If we could find a vantage point and look at an angle through that dip, we might spot their guns.
But they'd see us, wouldn't they?
Well, look, according to the map, there's a tongue of woodland going almost all the way up to that ridge. We could get up there.
What, in that lorry?
Look, there's a track leading through the wood, you see? Past a house or farm, we'd be hidden.
Just one thing wrong with your plan, Sergeant Bliss.
What's that, sir?
Look downstream. The bridge taking us where you want to go.
In plain sight of the enemy.
Try crossing that and you'd be sending your last message.
They'd blow us to little bits.
Yes, yes, I see that.
Well, what now then, Sergeant?
Sam!
With you, Sergeant. What's the problem?
Look, just, look, take it easy, you two.
Hey?
You're bloody sniping in front of an officer.
I'll get him, Walter.
Stow it, Ollie. So, how long have you been in that Indian army of yours, then, Bliss?
Well, I thought there was a bit of a niff round here.
Look, I signed up in 1900, so...
So you'll win the long service medal. So tell us, any of your brown chums actually tried to kill you in the last 14 years?
What's your point?
My point is, me and him have done more soldiering in 2 months than you've ever dreamed of, sunshine.
Yeah, that's right.
Or this were a post office engineer before this started. I bet he's forgotten more than they ever taught you at Aldershot.
We were not about a wireless set, he hasn't.
Cheeky son.
Look. I'm just here to do a job the best I can. It's signals versus the rest, you remember? And I need your help to get it done. Come on, you want to smoke?
Thanks.
Right, go on.
Right then.
Lieutenant's compliments, Sergeant. Would you join him?
I told this you would play about, sir.
Whoa, Camille! You gave me a right start there.
You're English?
I am not. Scots and proud of it.
You live near here, miss.
Sister Catherine, if you please.
Sorry, excuse me.
Our convent's up the lane here.
Ah, the house on the map.
Look at you all. I don't know which looks grander, Lieutenant. Your men or their horses.
Have you encountered the enemy?
Oh, I saw plenty of the German lads before you pushed them up the hill.
Do they treat you with respect?
Oh, aye.
It's just, you know, your stories.
They're good Catholic farm boys from a place called Worms.
As in the diet?
Sir?
The Rhineland.
Swineland, you mean, sir?
They helped Monsieur Manet get his harvest in.
So you're still here, between the lines?
We left when the fighting started, but Sister Therese and I came back to see to the garden. The orchard's hanging with fruit, and I'm manuring the vegetable beds before winter, as he's maybe noticed.
So you come and go across this bridge,
mm-hmm.
And they never bother you?
Why should they? It's peaceful here.
Sister, is there another way of crossing this stream?
Aged 18, the youngest of five children of a shipyard plater, Katie O'Neill is from Clydeside. When she was 13, her mother died of TB, and the family priest suggested her future might lie in the church. Since February 1913, she has lived at the isolated convent of Bourne, which after 210 years of quiet devotion is now hemmed between two vast armies in no man's land.
Here's the ford. How folk crossed the stream before they built the bridge?
Well, the surface has broken up. I'd have to take it slow to have a chance.
Well, there's not much tree cover.
No, but it's better than the bridge, though.
Yeah. But if all happened to the lorry, how would you get your wireless back?
Damn sure we can't carry the thing.
Look, I know you don't want to go back to HQ with your tail between your legs, but it's an hell of a risk, if you ask me.
Well, you two don't have to come, do you? You could cross undercover with the lieutenant and his men.
No, it's not what I was getting at.
Your decision, Sergeant Bliss.
I'll give it a go, sir.
Why don't I cross the bridge at the same time? Give them a wave, to put them off the scent.
No, I don't want to put you in any danger.
No. They watch me all the time.
I bet they do.
Plucky girl. Off you go, Sergeant.
I appreciate your help, sister.
My brother Tam's a soldier. Haven't seen any Blackwatch, have you?
I'm sorry, I've only been in France a week.
I'm going.
Me and Norris will get squattier in all this horse muck.
Hop, Camille. Is he over yet?
He's EL. Oh, sorry, miss.
I've heard that word before, Sergeant. In the odd sermon. I wonder if they're watching. Hello, boys!
In fact, the cart's progress is observed from the ridge by a 19-year-old private named Joachim Meyer, who's also reading a letter from his mother and eating a slice of her delicious plum cake. He smiles at the waving girl, notes the cart's movement in the observation post log, and lowers his Abbey and Schott binoculars to cut another piece of cake. He doesn't see Mickey's lorry pass uncertainly over the ford.
Oh, here he is. You made it, then?
With your help, sister, thank you.
Better than spreading cow muck. Can I ask, what are you actually doing here?
Reconnaissance.
Beg pardon?
Just looking at the enemy, that's all.
Oh, that's all right, then.
Now, the track carries on up the hill.
To the top wood. There's an open meadow to the ridge.
Right. Could you perhaps show us where the trees give out?
Well, I'd better go and...
Yeah?
Tell Sister Therese.
Well, quick as you can.
I won't be long.
Right.
Push your luck, don't you?
Just doing my job.
Where are you? Are you there?
Yes.
Stay out of sight. There are British soldiers here.
Oh, wasted in that convent, eh, Walter? I wonder what she looks like under that uniform.
Yeah, all right, Oris.
That you will never know, Sergeant, but there's one thing of which we can be entirely sure.
Sir?
Sister Catherine isn't speculating what you look like under your soiled khaki. Here we are, Bliss. Let's see if your hunch is correct.
It's not. Note.
You can see the forward line, but not the guns. Even where the ridge dips to its lowest point, see?
Yeah, we're not high enough.
So, what now then, Sergeant Bliss?
This one, I think.
We'll climb the tree.
Boys will be boys.
I'm not as good as you, sir.
Left foot there.
Right.
Reach for that branch. That branch with your right hand. of advice. Think of something else as you climb.
Yeah, I'm not sure I can, sir.
That branch won't bear you.
So, what took you to India?
It seemed a good idea at the time.
Terrible country, wonderful country.
But you know it.
I climb, not just trees.
Oh, well, the Himalayas.
Dragged me to bed in 12. Saw Everest and was consumed by a longing to stand on its summit. Perhaps after all this nonsense, God willing. Want to come?
Oh, well, getting to the top of this tree will do me, sir.
Right. Here. Don't want to show ourselves to their snipers, do we?
I can see the road now.
Military traffic on it. But sadly...
No. They must have put the guns a good way down the other side.
To echo Sergeant Oddie. What now?
I don't know, sir. You know, if only we could make the guns fire, we'd see the smoke and hence the position.
But that'd persuade them to open up. I wonder...
What, sir?
How long to get your bells and whistles up and running, Sergeant?
What a palaver.
The wireless telegraphy set comes with a 12-spoke aerial mounted on a 70-feet-long sectional mast. It can be erected by trained men in 12 minutes. That, at least, is the theory. It's 10 past 10.
Finally! That's it.
Right. You start climbing, Oddie.
What, you want me up that tree?
Yeah, to call me down the numbers, but first attach this line near the top. Chuck the other end down.
What for?
And pull the loose end of the aerial as high as you can. The more copper I can get in the air, the better.
I did not join the army to climb bloody trees.
Now, Greenwood, you dig a hole for the earth, deep, as far from the lorry as it'll go.
And I'm not a bloody sapper either.
The less resistance in the circuit, the more juice in the air, if you don't mind. Are you there yet, Oddie?
Meanwhile, Maberly Dunster sits with his back against a beech tree, watching Alphonse Minet and horse making perfect lines in the field below.
Pull up the aerial!
Earth buried!
What are you doing with the emery paper?
Well, I'm cleaning the cup contact on the pericon detector. And now, I am making sure the gap for the spark is the right width to jump.
That is, between a quarter and 3/16 of an inch.
You see the moisture on the contact?
Yeah.
Well, that's not good. Touch of paraffin will sort it out. The pericon detector, the receiver, you need to clean that too.
With carbon bisulfide, an insecticide used to ensure a good harvest in the vineyards not far away. It's a trick he learnt with his home-built set, one of thousands in pre-war India.
Never mind the signaller, you're a bloody chemist.
Precisely so, as well as many other things.
Here goes.
Watching the ploughing, Dunster is taken back to the fertile, rust-red fields of the Eden Valley and his native Westmorland, and wonders idly if he will ever see them again.
Sir, test message sent and acknowledged.
Very well. On with the show, then.
Mickey joins Walter at the top of an 80-foot beech tree.
Aerial, all right?
I can tie a bloody knot.
Thanks for doing this. We got a light.
So what are you up to anyway?
Well, it's not me. Lieutenant's got something up his beautifully tailored sleeve.
Like a bloody expensive watch. Hey, look here.
Where?
Left of that big oak to right of the dip. No need to ask what he's up to. His bloody pants round his ankles.
Hun with the runs.
Yeah. Fritz with the shits.
Hey. Dick, what are you doing?
What am I doing? I'm having a pot shot.
Yeah, but you lost your senses.
I can blow his bell enough from here.
Well, don't be bloody stupid.
Come on. Let's kill some Germans. That's what we're here for, isn't
no,
it?
No, we're here to test the wireless set.
Oh, it's a lot of faffing about.
You give our position away, man.
In fact, the soldier is the same Joachim Meyer who watched Catherine's cart an hour ago, now cursing the progress of his mother's plum cake through his fragile guts.
You put that rifle to your shoulder and the next thing you know, you'll be on your way down the quick way.
I thought we were supposed to be fighting a bloody war. Yeah.
Over the meadow, jump the fence, cross the field, into that copse.
In view of the enemy, sir?
Precisely the point. Let's show them what the 15th Hussars can do.
Swords drawn, sir?
Why not? Look, see what I see? After him!
Charge!
At 10:43, Lieutenant Maberly Dunster, eldest son of Viscount and Lady Appleby, leads his troop of Hussars in a breakneck charge across a meadow, scattering Alphonse Minet's cows in pursuit of a rather startled fox. A stirring sight that will soon go out of military fashion.
Look at them.
Well, they're daft bugger.
It's working. You see the smoke? Give me the map. I'll mark the positions.
Dunster's sally is short, its goals modest, ending more happily than the charge of their Hussar forebears on the field of Balaclava.
Well done, boys! Any casualties?
None, sir.
Very well. Through the trees to the end, work our way back.
There. Gone.
You sure?
Well, when can you be sure? I've sent it twice.
Could have laid a telegraph line. No fuss. Hell of a lot quicker.
But we didn't. We're trying something new with signals. The future, yeah? Why don't you give it a chance?
I'll tell you. Because I don't reckon it's up to much.
Now we wait till our guns open up.
If they open up.
Oh, I'm starving, Walter.
See what you can rustle up then, old lad. Go and forage.
Get these to a nunnery.
Eh?
The fruit in the convent orchard. Sister Catherine will give you something.
She might, mightn't she? Hello.
Oh, you gave me a surprise.
Nice one, I hope.
Why were the guns firing?
Oh, just trying them out, I reckon. hope you don't mind me saying. I'm not trying to be forward, but you're very pretty.
Thank you. Now, if you'll excuse me...
I don't have a sweetheart. Girls don't seem interested in Horace Greenwood.
I'm sorry.
Could I write to you? After we're gone, would you write a line back? I'm not trying to be funny.
If you like.
Yes, I should like that very much.
Was there something else?
The boys are getting peckish. Could you spare some apples and plums?
Oh, I can do better than fruit. I've bread and sausage in the kitchen.
Oh, I've got a sack? In the shed, maybe?
And I'll get you a sack. Don't go in.
Oh, dark in here, isn't it?
Here's a bag for you. Let's go.
Would you mind awfully, miss? Could I just hold your hand?
No, you can't.
Oh, just for a minute. Oh, there. Isn't that nice?
No! Get off me!
Ow! Oh, that bloody hurt!
Leave her alone.
Who the hell are you?
Back away, I said.
It's all right.
Yeah, I'm warning you.
I get it, bloody deserter.
Watch out! His rifle! You've hurt him. You can't stay here now, Billy.
No.
Come with me. I know a place.
It's just past 11 a.m. With the unexpected appearance of a private in the Durham Light Infantry, Mickey's operation has just become somewhat messier.
Oh, well, Sergeant.
No, I got the message away, but I haven't had an acknowledgement.
Meaning?
Well, it can mean any number of things. The enemy jamming our signal, sunspots, the set's gone fucked.
As I said before, machines never seem to be wholly reliable, do they?
Well, the kit's very new, sir. But it's my job to make it work. Give it a good revving, Oddy!
Right you are.
Now, the powering from the lorry rather than the batteries gives the signal a boost. But it risks burning out the kit.
And if this doesn't work? Rather a shame if our gallop was in vain. Hello.
What?
What are those two up to?
What, sir?
Bottom of the meadow, heading east, making a tempting target for a sniper. Oh. There they go. Oh. The one in front. That isn't our nun, is it? Oh.
Keep running. The trees.
Why are they shooting? They've never shot at me before.
The watchers on the hill have seen many people moving below them in recent weeks. But agitated by the sight of cavalry, they're laying down a withering fire on the running figures, one of whom suddenly stops.
Mary!
Catherine waves at her friends on the ridge.
What are you doing?
But soon discovers their friends no more.
I'm all right. Go! Just go!
Can't do that. Put your arm around my neck.
Come on. Here, let me take her.
Where's that from?
It worked. It bloody worked.
800. Right. 500! Can you hear me?
Up 1-800, right 500!
What's going on? Are they ours?
What the hell happened to you, Horace?
Oh, they're starting up. Our lads will get it now!
It's a maxim of military strategy that the purpose of artillery is not so much to destroy the enemy's infantry as his artillery. By firing at the ridge, the British gunners have alerted the German batteries to their positions, and it's now a question of who will knock out who first. This is unlikely to be the British, since their misfiring hasn't been corrected, for the simple reason that Mickey Bliss's brand new wireless set has stopped working.
Damn it, man. Didn't you hear me? I gave you new coordinates.
I sent them.
It's knackered, isn't it? Your precious bloody wireless.
Have you got any chocolate,
eh?
Chocolate, silver paper, that's all I want.
I've got a fries bar.
Hand it over.
Bloody Ada!
While most of the German batteries ranged along the Chemin des Dames direct their fire at the British artillery, some are now targeting the interlopers in no man's land. At 12:15, the wireless party thus find themselves being shelled by both sides.
What are you doing anyway?
I am replacing the contact strip in the transmitter to improve the spark.
Yeah, you owe. What? That was close.
I'm not liking this, Walter. I'm not liking this at all.
Right. It's time we went here, Bliss. Hey, up. What's this?
This girl's taking a bullet.
Well, the hell are you?
Private William Seymour, 2nd Battalion, DLI.
She was hiding him. Yeah, he attacked me.
You coward!
Horace!
That's enough, Sergeant!
Holy Mother of Jesus, that hurts!
Are you done here, Sergeant?
Nearly with you, sir.
Mickey Bliss will remember the skirmish on the Aisne for the rest of his life. Not because he calmly put his training to good use in difficult circumstances, but because in the end, his cool expertise was of no consequence whatsoever.
Elstree, they're giving us plenty of aid.
So can we go now, Walter? Home to mother?
Quiet! Correct the coordinate sensor.
But apparently not received.
I've got to go, Walter!
Just stay, lad. Your marvellous new wireless, it's knackered, right?
Is it right?
Maybe.
You can't fix it?
Look, I'm sorry, sir. I've tried.
So, undignified withdrawal must be the order of the day. Dismantle your equipment, give me your coordinates. I'll get them to the guns the old way.
Yes, sir.
Man on galloping horse. Come with me, Seymour.
The signalers dismantle the wireless set. While Oddie and Greenwood pack away the kit on the ground, Mickey climbs the tree to untether the aerial.
Line, come in!
Before descending, Mickey looks around. The view is very different to the peaceful scene of a few hours earlier. On the ridge, columns of smoke drift eastwards from the intense fire of the German artillery. There are similar clues to the positions of British guns to the south. In the patch of earth where the shells of both sides have been falling, all is changed. Ancient trees have been destroyed. Alphonse Minet and his Percheron horses have hurried to safety, and the convent of Bourne is on fire.
My good God.
Mickey Bliss can't help himself. He feels an intense exhilaration at this first experience of war, but a simultaneous frustration at his inability to influence its conduct.
Hello!
Especially when he sees a biplane of the Royal Flying Corps making towards enemy lines. Mickey knows that three BE-2A planes of 4 Squadron, operating from Fère-en-Tardenois aerodrome, are equipped with wireless sets. The pilot waggling his wings at Mickey could therefore give him precise artillery positions, if only his set was working.
Damn it!
The shrapnel shell from a German field gun bursts 30 feet above Mickey's head, scattering hundreds of red-hot metal balls. The tree trunk saves Mickey's life.
Come down!
Mickey Bliss has just had a brainwave. He has found a purpose. It's almost 2 p.m.
Is that everything, Norris, lad?
Yeah, can we go now, please?
Yeah, in the cab, then. Bliss!
Come in!
Right, get in. I'll drive.
Wait, wait.
No, that's enough. Let's go.
Hey, listen, listen, those last few shells.
Yeah, nearly did for us,
aye? Yeah, I know, but one was a dud, and I saw where it fell. Now, we could use it.
But for what?
The angle of alignment will tell us where it's come from. We'll dig it out.
Have you got something up with you?
The fuse timer. That's going to show us how long it's run. Yeah, if we did the maths, we could get the exact coordinates back to our guns.
Right, listen, Bliss. Thanks to you, today's been a complete bloody shambles.
Come on, we could turn it round.
In the literal heat of the moment, Mickey can think of nothing but the pure brilliance of his idea.
If we'd used our telegraph kit instead, we'd be back safe now, wouldn't we? Hey, with his feet up, having a nice mug of cocoa.
Well, don't you want to get the job done, then? Come on, we'll do our duty.
Don't you preach to me about duty, Sonny. I were doing mine when you were on your pleasure cruise.
What, the author of peace and lover of Concord?
What's up with him?
What's up with him? His duty's nearly finishing him off. Look, are you coming or not? Let's go!
Look, could you pass me the shovel from under the seat?
Don't be daft! You can't!
So the shovel.
It'll be buried deep! You won't be able to lug it on your own. They'll get you before you started.
It's my job.
Look, listen, lad. I'm saying this for your own good. Don't do it. Leave it, Bliss!
So it is that Mickey makes his way into an unremarkable field in northern France. But this day, October the 7th, 1914, Sergeant Bliss is doing something else. Running, willingly, almost exultantly, into the flame of war.
Yes! Bloody hell!
Where you going, Walter?
Where'd you be staying there?
Oh, don't leave me, Walter!
The field in which the dud shell has landed was ploughed just a few hours before by Farmer Minet and his horses, but there's little left now of their immaculate straight lines, more or less obliterated by the British and German guns. Mickey dodges the divots and holes and finds the place where the shell fell to earth. Calculating the angle of entry, he digs gingerly down to find the unexploded shell.
Thanks.
I don't want your thanks.
Walter!
Get back, Horace! Get back, son!
But Horace is beyond reason. For him, Walter represents safety. But not here, not now, for the three men have been spotted.
Surfers, get down, Horace! Get down!
Right, here it is. Now, don't touch it.
The shell lies steaming in a tunnel of scorched earth 2 feet down. Mickey examines it closely.
Now then, let's see. Oh, yeah.
Bloody hurry up, will you?
We need to get it back.
It's going to be red hot.
So wrap it in the tunic. You got it?
Yeah. Right. Come on, Horace!
Carrying a 15-pound shell, Mickey and Walter run for the safety of the trees, spurred on by their watching comrades.
Don't leave me, Walter! What are you doing, Horace? Are you okay?
In fact, Horace is merely burying himself into the remnants of a furrow, but Walter assumes otherwise.
I'm coming, I'm coming!
Walter drops the shell and runs to his friend and his destiny.
I'm coming, old man!
Alright, it's alright, I'll get you out! Stay there, Greenwood, you're gonna get one too! Come on, help me!
Don't leave me, Wally!
Help me get him up!
Don't leave me, Wally!
Help me!
Wally, don't leave me!
Mickey hoists the injured man onto his shoulder and staggers to the wood, troubled no more by the enemy whose firing stops, perhaps in tribute to his bravery. Horace Greenwood hugs the furrow till nightfall, then walks the 3 miles back to Divisional HQ. As for the fateful shell dropped by Oddie, that remains in the field until uncovered by a tractor driven by Monsieur Minet's grandson in March 1953.
Sergeant Bliss!
Are you all right, sister?
Heart's like the billy-o, but it should heal right enough if I look after it. Won't be doing any gardening for a bit. Not that we can go back to the convent. Not much of it left. Oh, your friend. Is he all right?
Shrapnel, stomach and leg.
Oh, my. Poor man.
Ingrid. Hey there, Bellam.
His wife.
I suppose. Look, I'm sorry about everything.
Not your fault, was it? What'll happen to Billy, Sergeant?
But that's not my decision, I'm glad to say.
He could have run away, but he came back to help me.
I saw.
He'd never have been found if the Sergeant hadn't tried to take advantage of me.
I see. I'm sorry.
Billy tried to protect me. I took pity on him. He's the same age as my brother, Tam. Oh, the Lieutenant's poor horse has been hit.
I know. Easy now. Someone give me a bag of hay.
What are you going to do, sir?
Hold his head for me.
Look at him, the poor beast.
A fine grey, Bew, short for Bucephalus, the horse ridden by Alexander the Great, has been Dunster's since he was 15. They joined the Hussars together. Bew is grievously wounded. A piece of shell has penetrated his chest. Dunster knows only one thing can save him.
Steady now.
He plunges his hand past the wrist into Bew's wound, finds the fist-sized piece of still-hot shell case, and pulls it out.
My God, sir!
Quick, the straw!
Then plugs the wound with handfuls of straw.
All right, lad. Well done.
Need to get Sergeant Oddie seen to, sir.
Hand over our deserter to the appropriate authority, will you?
Sir, will he...
For the high jump, I fear. Quite literally. Your responsibility now. Odd sort of day, wasn't it?
14 years a soldier. I've never seen anything like it.
You did all right. Where you ran across that field?
Like a moth to the flame.
Admirable. What's that?
Not important, sir.
One thing I learned on the mountain, Sergeant... Everyone dies, but not everyone lives. Goodbye.
There you go, my man. I've bandaged you good and proper. You'll be fine, just you see.
Thank you, Ingrid. Thank you so much.
Goodbye, dear. That's it, Sergeant Bliss.
When will I see you again, Ingrid?
Long after she has left Holy Orders and returned to Clydeside to work eventually as a district nurse, Katie O'Neill will wonder what happened to Walter Oddie and who the elusive Ingrid was. she could never have guessed. Ingrid was the daughter of a German butcher in Hull, who hired, then fired Walter after he had the temerity to ask for her hand in marriage. Ingrid was packed off home to Hamburg, and Walter never saw her again. On the outbreak of war, the shop was wrecked and its owner badly beaten. Walter Oddy led the mob.
Thank you, sister. Good luck.
As the lorry moves slowly downhill towards the Inn, the guns of both sides fall silent. They have inflicted minimal damage on each other.
So, what happened with you?
What do you want to know?
Will you just make it good?
They overran us. I couldn't get back to my lot. Sister Katie hid me in her shed. I slept for 3 days straight.
Well, we pushed them back 2 weeks ago. You weren't behind their lines anymore. It was your duty to do your duty.
I don't feel good about it.
Well, then why?
Oh, Fred. I seen him die. I couldn't go back right off. I needed a bit of peace. I'm all right now.
Get going.
I'd pardon?
But change your story. When you reach your battalion, you tell them you got stranded the other side of that ridge, and last night you slipped through their lines in the dark.
Thank you, Sergeant.
Don't thank me. You thank Sergeant Oddie there.
What was it all about, anyway? What were you trying to do?
Look, go before I change my mind.
Billy Seymour's reprieve is temporary. He will die 3 months later near Armentières. It's almost four when Mickey Bliss quits the Valley of the Inn. An hour later, as dusk falls, Maberly Dunster coaxes Bew onto his feet and the hussars leave the shattered woods and fields of Bourne. As darkness comes, it's time for the nightingale to sing, but it remains silent. It's gone, never to return.
In Tommy's, 7th of October 1914, by Michael Chaplin, Mickey Bliss was played by Lee Ross, Walter Oddy by Tony Pitts, Maberly Dunster by Alex Wyndham, and Horace Greenwood by Mark Edel Hunt. Catherine O'Neill was played by Anika Rose, Billy Seymour by Matthew Wernham, and Alphonse by Michael Burtonshaw. The commentator was Indira Varma. The music was by Nina Perry and the musicians were Oliver Langford and Danny Keane. The series creator and co-producer was Jonathan Ruffell and the director was David Hunter.
If you'd like to receive our newsletter with full details of the week's radio dramas, just search for BBC Radio Drama Newsletter.